75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, we're here at Eureka Springs, and of course, at the end of the Ozarks, and Wendell Stevens, is always a pleasure seeing you, and last time we had you on the phone, this time we're actually doing a regular broadcast.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, a lot better, and we were a real trooper helping us last time on the phone because we were doing a live report from Laughlin. Now, this time, you, at this conference, you were talking about a very interesting thing that we talk about all the time on our UFO files. As far as sightings reports, Brazil and Argentina and South America always seems to be a hotbed, and you had a pretty interesting incident in one of your books.
Yes, a case of a man and woman being involuntarily abducted in a car, car and all, taken aboard an alien spacecraft.
And they were actually driving down the road, I guess, and well, you explained it in the lecture. It was a hold about 25 cars, this hangar?
Well, yeah, but they were alone when their car was, it was about 11:45 at night near Matias Barbosa in Minas Gerais State in Brazil. And it was just short of midnight. They had stopped for a snack back down the road, is why they were pretty well aware of the time that this happened. And they pulled off the side of the road because they were drowsy. And a light bloomed on above them, a bright beam of white light. And as they were trying to see through the windshield what this light was coming from, there was a whoosh, the car and was all, everything was sucked aboard that fast in this beam of light. Went right through the bottom of the craft and a floor slid under it and it's inside.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Now, it's interesting, and about this, the people, the beings that actually explained to these people where they're from and the whole, I mean, they were pretty open, really.
Yes, they were. They told them that they came from a planet they called Clermer. They said that it was not too far from our sun in our part of the galaxy, and they showed the two abductees on a hemispherical map on a viewing screen. They showed them their sun and our sun in relation to it, ship to it, and other associated suns that had intelligent life on them.
Now actually, on the cover of your book, if I'm not mistaken, that's there.
That is a reproduction of an alien map that was produced by the machine itself. The woman said, "Can I trace a copy of that?" He said, "I'll make you a copy." And he pushed a button and went back someplace and came out with a sheet of paper in his hand with the scene printed on it in color.
One of the things that you mentioned yesterday was the fact that they spoke perfect Portuguese.
That's right. They had their own language, but when they addressed the couple, they spoke perfect Portuguese.
Now, we'll get into a little bit about this story in a minute here, but folks, Wendell Stevens was instrumental in my interest in this whole fact. You wrote an interesting book about Aztec at one time.
Yes, a crash at Aztec, New Mexico, that was primarily investigated by Frank Scully, who was a journalist, a Los Angeles journalist at the time. The debunkers attacked him for writing the story and claimed that he'd made it up for publicity, but in our investigation we found that the story was intrinsically true, that he had valid information, that he was trying to protect some of his sources before the debunkers. We found the sources, and they were responsible professors at the University of Colorado that were doing the analysis on the material that was recovered from the crash.
The only reason I bring this up is most people are familiar with your work, but not everyone, and you've been at this for a long time. In fact, I think the last time we were together in February, I think you had an 84th birthday, right?
81.
80. Oh, I made you older than. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, 81. Yeah.
But you're still pretty active. I mean, you're around everywhere. We'll ask you that secret in a minute of your longevity. But let's get back to this story. These beings from this planet, they were brown. Is that right?
Brown skinned. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they had interesting eyes?
They had green eyes. The iris part of the eye was green. They otherwise had black hair and the brown skin, but green eyes.
So that would, if you paid a lot of attention, that might stand out. But you mentioned in your book, I remember, the fact that on one of the later encounters, which we'll get into, the lady, I believe, well, maybe both of them. There were two people involved, right?
Two people involved, yes, man and woman.
There was somebody met them by a name of some weird name, and he was actually living here on this planet.
He was an alien man living as a resident on this planet that they used as a contact, and they sent messages through him. He clearly was of the alien society, because when they were all together, they looked alike. He was just wearing Earth's clothes. He gave his name as Zer, but that was only his name in the alien society. He had another common Portuguese name in Portugal.
Now the interesting thing, and we'll maybe get into that a little bit, and I can read it in the book. This is on a later encounter. The whole idea of them transporting and levitating the car and the whole thing, and then talking to these people, and there was a man and a woman, right?
Yes, man and woman.
The whole idea is that almost everything that we hear about in fiction actually happened.
Oh, yes, yes, very much so. In fact, truth is so much beyond. I don't even like to read science fiction. It's just somebody's idea of an idea. I only like to read the truth, and the truth actually is more rare than anybody can imagine.
And in your research, you've come across some great stories over the years.
Fantastic. I've written 18 books. Each one is about a separate case.
Let's get back to this particular case you talked about here in Eureka Springs. They had some kind of helmets or something that they put on. What was that about?
Yes, they seated them in big chairs in alongside of a console that filled much of the wall. And then the aliens seated themselves in chairs facing them, so there were four people in the room. And they put helmets, silvery-looking helmets, on their heads that had a blinking light on the top and blinking light around the sides. Some wires coming out that they plugged into the console. And the aliens put similar helmets on their heads. And after the helmets were on, they could open the conversation. And they heard the conversation in Portuguese, and their answers were translated by the console and into the alien language for the aliens. Now, the interesting thing about this is when the alien spoke to the man, the woman could hear the alien's voice speaking to the man, but she couldn't hear the translation. Her earphones weren't working when that was happening. When he turned to her, her earphones worked, and she could hear the translation in Portuguese, and she could hear his voice in his language, but the man couldn't hear the translation to her in Portuguese. He could only hear her response.
It was kind of a selective thing. They probably couldn't figure out. I guess it was automatic. I don't know.
Well, it was all done automatic by the big console. There were blinking lights on the console. She noticed that the round-colored button-like lights blinked when they talked, and when the aliens spoke, square button-like lights blinked.
What kind of craft was this?
It was a deep-domed disc.
Certainly, it was very, very large.
It was about 70 feet in diameter. There was another car in that ship when they became aware of being inside. After the light, there was total darkness. They couldn't see a thing. And then as the light slowly came on, they could see that they were sitting in a hangar-like room on a metal floor. There was another car there. And there was nothing else in the room at the beginning. Then a port opened in the ceiling, and two men came down a ladder that ran along the wall and met them. Now, this small, well, it wasn't so small, the 70-foot diameter craft went someplace else with them, where it went into another larger craft. And it was in the larger craft when they left the smaller disc-shaped craft. The larger craft had several other discs of this size, some bigger and some smaller, in another bigger hangar bay than the one that their car was in.
So it was at a very large mothership.
Was also involved, yeah.
And the man who actually, I guess, took the lead investigating for the extraterrestrials actually became very friendly with those people, right?
My friend, a Varig Airlines flight captain that was doing the interviewing, became quite well acquainted with Herminio, the man. He never met the woman.
And now you met the woman later, or what?
No, I was looking for the woman for years, and just a couple of years ago, I found out that she was the prime contactee. The man was interested. The man, by the way, was a Jehovah's Witness minister. And when he became aware that they were aboard an alien vehicle...
Well, let's get into that story in this next break, because this is very interesting. Folks, you're not going to believe this, but it's... a very interesting story, and it's true. I'm Jerry Pippin. We have Wendell Stevens with us, and this is the UFO File.
You know, I've been long aware of the body's natural healing powers, and I have some information I'd like to share with you that I believe is paramount to each person's well-being. I want you to think about this. When you cut your hand, how does your body know how to heal the wound? The cells in our bodies are coded to perform many different complex functions that are all essential to our good health. Proper nutrition is the key. It gives our body's cells what they need to function properly. If we don't give the body all of the elements that it needs, the body creates substandard cells. After a period of time, cellular functions will start to falter. And according to scientific research, that's when diseases surface. Dr. Catherine Frisbee would like to share more of this information. Go to our website, jerrypippin.com, and click on the banner. That's the healthy food banner, and find out more information. You'll be glad you did.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the internet, one stop fits all, jerrypippin.com. At jerrypippin.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Hit it now, www.jerrypippin.com.
River of Fear, the first book in a trilogy, contains just a few of the paranormal and UFO events that author Rod Davis and his wife have personally experienced. Rod surrounded them with mystery and action, which makes River of Fear a page-turner and an exciting read. River of Fear is a book you do not put down. Click on the link on our UFO page at jerrypippin.com for more about River of Fear, and you can buy it today for only $14.95. That's a savings of $5. River of Fear, reality fiction, and its best.